Hi, this is Tiffany Montgomery of Shop Eat Surf. I met this week with Paul Nadi to talk about some very big news brewing for the Stokehouse Group. They are launching a new women's brand aimed squarely at the surf market. I talked with Paul about why he thinks there's an opportunity for a new women's brand, why he and his team are so excited about the state of modern women's surfing, and how the new brand will position itself in the market. Plus, we discuss the state of the industry and get an update on Amuse Society and the brand's crazy growth in the fashion world. Now, here is our conversation with Paul. I am with Paul Nadi, and he has some very exciting news to share. Why don't you tell everyone what you guys are up to here?
Well, we're launching a new female surf brand.
Seriously, that's crazy. Why are you doing this?
Well, you know, when we started Vistler, there'd been a lot of demand based on the success of Vistler from consumers as well as the surf store account base with regards to us adding a juniors element to the Vistler line. We've had our hands full with Vistler, Amuse, and De Blanc, so it wasn't really on the cards. But during the course of the last year, we've really started to, you know, take a serious look at it. And, you know, there's a lot of amazing, exciting things happening in women's surfing at the moment. So we think the timing is right. You know, we've been working on it for a few months now. And, you know, the whole crew is super excited about it. And yeah, there we go. So.
And how, I mean, there's a lot of female surf brands in the industry. How will this brand differentiate? And most importantly, what's the name?
The name of the brand is Sister Evolution, all one word, spelling S-I-S-S-T-R-E-V-O-L-U-T-I-O-N. Sister Evolution, it's a long name. We did a lot of work on the brand name, and it's always a tough one. You get it down to, you know, a few, and then you get some voting going, and that's where we ended up. So, you know, we're excited about it. I think that the name is inclusive, it's strong, it's feminine, it's relevant. It exudes the ability to continually evolve. It hints of, as I say, clearly feminine. It has a hint of empowerment in there, which I think is relevant and important right now, particularly in the female world. But at the same time, it's really Vistler's sister. When we started the brand, the working title, we didn't even know the brand name, what the brand name was, but the working title was Vistler's sister. You know, Vistler won't be part of the brand name, or this is totally separate brand, separate company. But where there's opportunities to collaborate with Vistler, for example, at an event, which may be, you know, include both genders, then of course we will. And so that's what it is, Sister Evolution.
Okay. And then how are you going to differentiate this brand in the market compared to other surf brands that are already out there?
Well, I think we've seen a change in the market on the women's surf side. I think that in a way, I don't want to sort of toot our horn here, but in a way, I think that Amuse, you know, when we launched that brand back in 2015, I think we probably caused a bit of disruption. I think that a lot of the surf brands on the female side responded and became a lot more fashion forward. I think that that's sort of where the market sits right now. First of all, Sister Evolution will be a modern surf company aimed at the new young female surfer and outdoor beach going female. We will clearly be a surf brand. We will have an active portfolio of people we sponsor, from top surfers through to, you know, not dissimilar pillars to Vistler, with regards to, you know, say the surf side, creators, sustainability, and generally just the sort of active outdoor beach orientated female, aimed at the demographic of sort of 12 to 25. Look, the brand ethos will be real, aspirational, young, vibrant, and photo shoots will be using real surfers, creators, people who are, you know, part of the brand. As I said, the band of sisters will include surfers, creators, free spirits, adventure seekers, and those seeking an eco-conscious lifestyle rooted in the beach. So again, you know, not dissimilar to Vistler, but for females.
And what do you think is the state of sort of female surfing these days?
Look, a big part of the motivation to launch this new brand is centered around, you know, what's happening in women's surfing and what's happening on the participatory level in women's surfing, from, you know, really young age group all the way up, to be honest, moms that are out there just having a good time. And I think that for me personally, I've been surfing for a long time. And really, in the last year, I've said this to a number of people, I think that the top woman on the World Championship Tour could surf in the men's heats and win heats. I was up at the Surf Ranch for the Founders Cup recently, and honestly, I think there were a couple of waves ridden there, the girls, that were the best waves ridden in the entire event. Sorry, guys, but that's just my opinion. So I think women surfing is in an amazing place right now. I think that full credit to female surfers in general who, you know, you go back a couple of decades and quite a bit of animosity in the water towards women. And, you know, I think the girls have kind of subconsciously sort of banded together, created their own sort of female beach culture, female surf culture. And I think it's a real positive. And I think it's, you know, really sort of pulling in a lot of young girls to really get engaged, whether they're competitive or not. You know, there's girls out there riding, feeling the glide, and, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, on the competitive side, there's, you know, the guys with, we've got a lot of young guys in the company with little kids who surf in all these local events every weekend. And, you know, you go down to those contests, and on some of those events, there's more young girls surfing than there are young boys. And I think it's really good to see. And as I say, the level of performance going on in the water by the girls generally, not just at the CT level, but, you know, really across the board is pretty inspiring. So I think that bodes well. I think that it's not just on the top performance level, as I've said, but I mean, there's this, you know, alternative surfboard movement happening on the women's side as well as it is on the men's side. You know, people riding different crafts, whether they be fish designs or longboards, the whole longboard thing's got sort of real momentum at the moment. There's some incredible stylish girls out there just, you know, just look amazing, like they're doing ballet on longboards. And, you know, it's great to watch. So I think that the girls have really created this female culture for themselves centered around surfing. You know, certainly in this company, we're super excited about it, and hence the reason to launch a new brand. And we're going to be focused on, you know, surf culture for females. And as I said, aimed at, you know, obviously aimed at 12 to 25, but is there going to be overflow on both ends? Absolutely.
And talk to me about categories. Like where are you going to make your stake?
We'll have a full line of product for the female surfer. You know, product will be swim, apparel, accessories, and obviously wetsuits. As you know, we've had a lot of success on the Vistula wetsuit side. So we'll have a full range of wetsuits. To be honest with you, that's where a lot of the demand has come from. A lot of people, female surfers, their parents saying, hey, when are you guys going to make, you know, wetsuits for girls? So a full line of product. It'll be modern, functional, feminine, easy to wear styles using sustainable fabrics wherever possible. But at the same time, it's going to be cute. You know, we want a guy might have a girlfriend who loves hanging out with him on the beach, and maybe she doesn't surf, but she gets in the water. She loves the lifestyle. And, you know, if they're away for a week in Cabo and, you know, everybody comes off the beach all salty and has a shower, we want her to feel comfortable putting on a cute dress and going out to dinner, as well as, you know, addressing the functional side, whether it be, you know, functional wetsuits, functional swim. We'll be introducing board shorts that are functional. And I know that's a product category that hasn't necessarily been top of mind, but yeah, we think there's a lot of opportunity. And we will have a comprehensive line that I think will be targeted to that market.
So I have to tell you, in some ways, I'm really surprised you're launching another brand, right? It's a tough market out there. Retail is tough in a lot of areas. You already, as you mentioned, have three brands. You're a younger company. I know it requires a lot of cash. I'm just thinking of all the brands that are struggling. So why do you think there's opportunity now out there and you're willing to invest in this?
We're a California lifestyle company. It's what we do. It's what we focus on. That is what we do. We see a market opportunity right now in this niche, and we're going to go after it. You know, we can talk about the difficulties at retail and the difficulties in apparel, and we can talk about it forever and a day. But, you know, from our point of view, you know, we started in a difficult market. So for us, you know, we come at it from a different point of view. We're not trying to get back to anything. You know, we're moving forward. So for us, the glass is half full, not half empty. We think there's many ways to get product to market today. We love the retail account base. Some have embraced, you know, a new way of doing business, and those accounts are doing exceptionally well. others are in a niche in a market and they do things differently, and, you know, more power to them. But from our point of view, as I say, we're not looking at the market and saying how difficult the market is. Is it difficult? Is it hard yards to get product to market? Absolutely. But, you know, we're up for it. And we think this is an exciting category. We think there's opportunity. We know how to make women's clothes. That's half the battle, particularly on the female side. You know, it's easy to make men's clothes. It's not that easy to make women's clothes. And we know how to do that. So, you know, we feel pretty confident. We think that today you can talk about the difficulty in the market, and absolutely there's certain retail areas that are depressed. But at the same time, the consumer is out there and vibrant. And as long as you're giving them newness and entertaining them and listening to them, there's a market. You know, we're seeing a strong consumer base. We're able to talk to those consumers every second of every day digitally. So we feel, you know, optimistic. And the other thing is that, you know, globally, we have a global footprint now. We have a global distribution network in place. So for us to be able to launch the brand globally is not that difficult. And obviously, you know, we'll help with the brand launch, help with minimum order quantities. And as I say, for us, the glass is half full. You know, I went to a talk recently and there's a pastor there. And the guy made an amazing statement. He says, you know, there's two types of people in this world. There's those who wake up in the morning and say, good morning, God. And then there are those who wake up and say, oh, God, good morning. So you want to be part of the first group. We want to be part of the first group.
That's funny. So you mentioned a little bit about, you know, how to make women's clothing there. So tell me, like, are you staffing up for this new brand? How are you handling, you know, all the work that's going to go into that and the teams behind it?
Look, we got, you know, when I started the company, the goal was to have talented, experienced people in key positions. And that's what we have. So everybody has been involved in this from, to be honest with you, not just the product and marketing side, but, you know, throughout the company, whether they're people in admin, whether they're people in operations, it's sort of been a bit of a team effort, and it's been good. You know, it's really actually created a lot of unity, which has been positive. And but yeah, as we get, you know, we've already have made some specific hires for Sister Evolution, and we'll continue to build that team. But, you know, in terms of on the management side, as I say, we've got, you know, really good bench strength here. You know, people will be involved where they need to be involved, but at the same time, you know, structure is important, and the structure on the Sister Evolution side will develop as we move along.
With Amuse, so now you have two female brands, one male brand. Amuse is not as much in the surf market as it used to be. Tell me sort of what is the status of Amuse? How's it doing? What's its main distribution network now, et cetera?
Good question, Tiffany. Look, the launching of this new brand really didn't have anything to do with Amuse. I mean, Amuse continues to grow from strength to strength. And it's not either Amuse or Sister Evolution. We will now have two female brands in the group. I didn't really plan this or anticipate it, but where I see market opportunity is what we've gone after. And here we are. Two female brands in the group aimed at, you know, different demographic largely. You know, on the one hand, I can look at it and say, well, women spend about 2.5 times on themselves that men do. So the ratios are probably about right now, if that's a way to justify it. But no, that wasn't the reason to start the brand. The reason to start Sister Evolution was that we felt that there was a demand. We were constantly getting hit up to start something on the female surf side. And we wanted to start a separate brand. You know, I believe in you know, different brands for different genders. So that's why there's not a Whistler Juniors line. But on the Amuse side, to get back to your question, when we started Amuse, the goal was to start a fashionable California lifestyle brand that could transcend beach. And in other words, we could sell the surf beach channel, but we could also have enough fashionability and marketing noose to sell into the boutique channel. And we achieved that. And as I said earlier, I think that we changed the surf side of the market somewhat in terms of the fashionability that the team brought to the table. To be honest, we've probably been more successful than we anticipated in terms of crossing over to the boutique side. And today we find Amuse as a as being largely a contemporary fashion brand aimed at the sort of 18 to 35-year-old demographic, much more fashion-driven than beach-driven. And we're happy to be in that place. You know, the vast majority of our business is done in that channel. We do sell better in beach stores, but to be honest, the product really needs to be in our traditional channel where they understand women's fashion, they have female buyers, they understand merchandising, you got a change room with a door, not a curtain. So there's certain things that need to happen on the women's fashion side that you've got to play into if you want to be successful in that market. So that's really where it is. Two brands, two different demographics, and Amuse will continue to be who it is. We're having, you know, a lot of success with the brand. We, contrary to some of the rumor mongering, we're going, as I said earlier, to going from strength to strength. We've certainly got, I can assure you, industry-leading growth on the female side.
Okay, I want some more details about industry-leading growth. Like strength to strength is like kind of vague. So like, are you talking double-digit annual growth?
Certainly double-digit growth. Let's just say that well north of 25%.
You're kidding. Annual growth well north of 25%.
Yes.
That's insane.
I think it illustrates the fact that there's market opportunity.
What about Visla?
Visla is also having a lot of success.
He's smiling because he doesn't want to say, okay. So growing annually.
Yeah, strong annual growth. I would say we have industry-leading growth in terms of percentages.
How hard has it been to launch this new company and these new brands? Just everything, the cash it takes, the capital, the mind, you know, share, everything.
Look, I think that, you know, launching the brands and coming up with the ideas and being creative and, you know, some of the amazing marketing activations the team has put together, the design, you know, all of that is as fun as it's ever been. I mean, that is what brings everybody to work here every day, right? To have a good time and to be creative and to be part of a team. And, you know, even on the operational side, you might not have most creative heads in there, but, you know, they all, you know, everyone's rallied and everybody's excited and there's a lot of energy in the company and you know, we get to it. And as I say, that's as fun as it's ever been, and we're all having a good time on that side. Even operationally, in terms of, you know, putting systems in place, ERP systems, warehousing, fulfillment on e-com, you know, those things are, you know, that's what we do. You know, that's what the operational team does. It's not that hard for us to do that stuff. You know, you referenced earlier the difficulties in the market. Yeah, there's difficulties in the market, but there's ways around those difficulties. Is it as easy as it was in 2005 to 2007? Definitely not. Infinitely more difficult. But we live in a different world today, right? We're an industry in transition that's being driven by a consumer revolution. And you have to be nimble and you have to move with that consumer. The consumer today is king. I know they've always been king, but today they really are king, right? Because they have access to everything. So, you know, all the principles of brand building and design and marketing and even operations are what they are. And, you know, there's all the fun stuff that goes on that side, which is great. On the finance side, because of the difficulties that not only this market has had, but apparel in general has had, yeah, financing and raising capital is not easy. Definitely not easy. I mean, the bigger institutions don't like the space at the moment. And there's reason for it, which we don't need to go into, being well covered. But at the same time, you know, you just sort of, you know, bob and weave and, you know, you find your path. And yeah, that side of it is, there are definitely days where, you know, you got to take a deep breath. But at the same time, you know, we're managing, we're getting there and we'll continue to box on that front. But on the front end, as I said, you know, a lot of great stuff, a lot of good things happening. And, you know, we're super stoked about it. And to be honest with you, we're super optimistic about the future of the industry. Is it going to be different? Absolutely. Can we go back to what was? Definitely not. Because we're living in a new era with a new consumer, and there's just a new way of doing business. And if you can adapt to that, I think you're going to be okay.
So, question for you. These are sort of nuts and bolts. What is the pricing going to be for the new brand, Sister Revolution? And what is the distribution going to be like?
Well, distribution will be aimed at the traditional beach channel, right? Beach and surf stores. And as I say, we're backed up by, you know, a strong product and very focused marketing profile. Pricing will be what is to be expected in that channel. Obviously, you know, on the Amuse side, it's a more fashion-forward brand. We use different fabrications. It is more expensive. It's probably more boutique pricing. This brand will be targeted to compete in the women's surf market. So we will be competitively priced.
So here is a follow-up question that I should have asked you earlier when you were talking about the market and when I asked about how difficult it is to operate these businesses. Did you need to raise money to launch this brand? Like, are you bringing in extra capital into the business?
No.
How come or why not? Or how are you able to do that?
Look, some days are better than others, but, you know, you just manage your cash flow. And as I say, we have the benefit of being able to leverage some overhead that's already in place. So that makes it a little easier.
So turning to industry stuff now, we have the Billabong Board Riders merger. We have Volcom for sale. I keep hearing it's imminent, but we'll see. A lot of change happening with some of those bigger brands. Do you think that gives you more of an opportunity than ever? Like, what do you think is going to happen as a result?
I think I've said this before on one of these podcasts. Look, I think there has been a bit of a split in the industry. I think I've said this before. I've been saying it for a few years now. And you've got the big corporate brands on one side, and then you've got the smaller and newer brands on the other side, together with all the hard goods and functional products. And I think that, you know, we see that as being the direction the market seems to have gone in at the moment. I don't see that changing. And I think that, you know, everybody has their own way of running a business. You run one of those big companies, you run it differently to the way you run a smaller company like ours. And I've done them both. So I can tell you it's completely different. And those guys, you know, the big corporate brands have got their own way of doing things. They've got their own aspirations. They've got their own plans in terms of how they're going to approach the market and run their businesses. And the same is on our side. Again, there, I'm not saying it's either or, but more and more, and this comes from retailers and consumers. This is not just me making this up, but more and more retailers tell me, look, you guys are selling a different consumer to a lot of the big brands. I say, well, that was the intention, so thank you for that. And I think that to an extent, that probably is happening. To a large extent, I think we are selling a different consumer. Obviously, there's, you know, we cross over and compete in some areas. But I think we are selling a different consumer, and we do have a different way of doing business. And maybe that's part of the reason we sell a different consumer. But it doesn't mean to say it's either or. Both sides of the line will exist. I think where everybody competes. Everybody competes for floor space. That's a fact. And everybody, and I think that is the biggest area of competitive tension, more so than on the consumer side. Because on the consumer side, while you compete, your messaging, your product, et cetera, is what's going to determine the consumer's response. But when we're talking about competing for floor space on the retail floor, yeah, it's a dogfight.
And this is a really dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Do you think that Vizsla is getting the retail space it deserves in the surf market?
No.
And how do you make the argument to retailers to get more? I know you're not whipping out your checkbook for that.
Well, that could be part of the problem. No, look, I think that we've done Vizsla's only a four-year-old company. We've only had product in the market for 4 years. I think that we've achieved a lot. I think the team has done a great job in terms of what they've done. I think we've brought some newness to the market. I think we've created some excitement. We certainly got, you know, we marched the beat of our own drum in a lot of respects, and I think it's worked for us. Do I think that we deserve more retail floor space? Yeah, I think we do. But at the same time, you know, I run a disciplined business. I'm not going to engage, and I've said this to you before, I'm not going to engage in some of the ill discipline that is rampant out there. It's just, we can't afford it. You know, we're just not in a place to be able to afford it. And that is one of the obstacles that, you know, new brands and small companies have to negotiate, is that you just cannot engage in what I call ill discipline. I know some people may not like that description, but that is what it is. So I think that to an extent that probably costs us a bit in terms of market share, but we don't have a choice. You know, we've got to operate within the means, within our means, and I think that we do a fairly good job of that. And I think that we're making, as I said earlier, we've got, you know, strong growth. We're making good progress. Do I think we deserve more? I think that for a company that has, you know, certainly I think got a fresh look and with the cleanest distribution in the industry, it's just a fact, certainly on the apparel side. Yeah, I think that we probably deserve a bit more space. But at the same time, I respect the fact that retailers make you earn your stripes in this business. We're earning our stripes. We're probably corporals or sergeants now. We'd like to go up from there.
That's funny. And I think people know, but just define ill discipline for me.
Tiffany, you're going to put me on the spot here. Look, I just think that this is a tough business. And on the apparel side, on the brand side, on the manufacturing side, or the wholesale side, for example, there's a lot that goes into building a brand and building product. We don't make a lot of margin. No one does. The big brands, the small brand, none of us. We don't make a lot of margin. And I know the retailers have their own, absolutely their own troubles. And this is not us versus retail because, you know, I've been on the retail side. And I think you did an interview with me about 5 years ago. And I said, hey, hats off to the retailers because they do it better than the brands do it. And, you know, we're sort of embarking on some retail ventures right now, but it's in conjunction with retail partners because I do think the retailers do, to a large extent, I think the retailers do a good job. But I think there's times where, you know, certain retailers' expectations from brands are not realistic based on the business model that exists on the wholesale side. And 100% agree that on the retail side, there's another set of business issues that exist that you have to deal with. I think a little more teamwork is required. But at the end of the day, look, there's big brands out there that are buying market share based on terms and conditions that are extremely favorable to a retailer. I understand that if they're in a position to do that, then more power to them. From our side, you know, we don't sell terms and conditions here. That's not what we sell. So, you know, we're more interested in producing great product, creating consumer demand with newness and trying to be innovative and trying to be creative. And we hope that that resonates with, we think it's resonating with the consumer. Certainly our business model tells us it is. And we hope that that is of value to the retailer. But at the same time, you know, we understand we're not asking for a free ride. We come to work every day to compete. We love to compete. That's what we do in this company. So we're out there competing and, you know, we're earning our stripes, like I said, and I'm not going to knock anybody, either retail or any of the other brands out there in terms of if their approach to business, if that's their business model and their approach is different to what, you know, what my opinion is, then so be it.
So I think we should wrap up, but tell me, is there anything else we need to know about this new launch, this excite, you know, how you guys are positioning it, anything we didn't cover?
Well, we've been talking for long enough. Like I've said, I can't even listen to myself speak for this long. But no, I think we've covered everything. And look, we're super excited about it. There's a lot of energy behind it. Super pumped on women's surfing. I think women's surfing, the Olympics, is going to be the star of the show. And I think it's an amazing opportunity for the girls. I think this is a separate subject, but the qualification process to become an Olympian for girls, I think is, I don't want to say easier, but kind of more exciting than it is for the guys, which sort of seems to be a bit of a lock. But for the girls, I think it's pretty wide open and I think the girls are responding. And in this company, we're super pumped on the talent and the way women are surfing. And, you know, we look forward to seeing it go to the next level, which is going to be mind-blowing. You know, we're stoked to get involved and be part of this new women's surf culture. So we look forward to it.
Thanks for talking with me, Paul, and letting me torture you with doing audio.
Thanks, Tiffany.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find previous podcast interviews on our website under the podcast tab. Thank you also to our sponsors and to our Executive Edition members. We appreciate each and every one of you.